Okay, now we keep it on the low about how I was directing you on that other part, okay? I'm over here directing the choir. La, la. I'm just having a good time over here. And then you have George singing. By the way, every Friday, right, Pat? Every Friday, Patricia? Yeah, every Friday you can go and hear George play over at Fountain View. It's just, you got all kinds of blessings going on. And we need blessings today because of that daylight savings time thing. I will tell you, I will confess, I am not a fan. I am not a fan. I have another idea. I think what we should be able to do is, instead of moving our clocks up an hour, let's move them back 23 hours. You get to repeat Saturday, all right? So you get an extra Saturday out of the deal. And then you go through Sunday, and then I know you're behind today, so let's just drop Monday. Just drop Monday. So instead of losing an hour of sleep, you gain 23 hours of sleep, or you gain an extra Saturday, and you get to lose Monday, and the boss has to pay you anyway.
It's a winner.
That's, you know. Yep. That's my idea. But then I have a lot of strange ideas.
Yeah, we know.
Spoken by the sparkly outfit. Very sweet, by the way. Here I am wearing drab clothes, and you got all the sparkles going over there. Very, very nice. Very nice. This week it just came to my attention. God just working in me sometimes in ways I don't want God to work. Does God ever work in you in a way that you don't necessarily want God to work? I kept running into people, guys, who were incredibly built. Okay? I mean, very, very bad. I mean, I'm talking about like 2% body fat. All right? Just muscles. That's where all the muscles are. These guys keep taking everybody else's muscles. I'm thinking to myself, how come I don't have a body like that? I would like to have a body like that. And honestly, I'm thinking that thought, and a voice comes into my head and says, Don, that's because they don't eat dark chocolate, potato chips, and ice cream every night, and they exercise and work out. And I felt sorry for him. That's a high price to pay to look all healthy and buff and everything like that. And I was remembering, though, that faith, of course, is a muscle we use. It's not a pill that we take. And if we want our faith to be strong, then we have to work it. And if we have our faith, then we have to be careful what we're taking into our lives, through our minds, through our hearts, through our spirit. We have to pay attention, just as we do with our body. We have to pay attention to how we're feeding our souls every month, as we pay attention to how we're feeding our body. Now, I know the sermon title, Boldly Go. How many Trekkies do we have here? All right, so it's 5-year mission, right? Explore what? New worlds, new civilizations. Two.
Boldly go.
Boldly go. That's right. Boldly go. All right? Now Abraham, God bless him, he doesn't get the 5-year mission. It's still very boldly going, but it's a lifetime commitment to him. It is a life commitment. That's the part that Cindy read. That's the... And Abraham will never, ever, ever see the fulfillment of God's promise to him. He never, ever gets to see it. But his response shapes it. His response shapes a future he will never get to see. That's faith. When our response shapes a future we will not see. Martin Luther said, if I knew I was going to die tomorrow, I would still plant a tree today. To trust in God, our faithful response shapes a future that we will not see. So God comes to Abram. Now we know him as Abraham, but his name hasn't changed yet. In our passage, God comes to a man named Abram. Abram's just a guy. He's just a guy. All right? He isn't anything special yet. Nothing unusual about him. Now, later on, there'll be legends and stories. You know, I was telling that with the Bible study. You know how with George Washington and the cherry tree and all that? That wasn't circulating around when he was a little kid. That came in afterwards, okay? Same with Abraham. All the great story. No. At this point in the story, we're just now hearing about him. Abram's just a guy. Ain't nothing special about him. Ain't nothing special. As far as we know, Abram doesn't even know God. They've never been formally introduced. Haven't ever been to church. Never went to Sunday school or vacation Bible school. Never even heard of God. And yet, God says to Abram, and I wrote this down because I want to make sure you hear it, all right? Congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. Okay, are you catching that? You see how it goes? All right. Kind of Dr. Seuss there. All right. And Abram says, what does Abram say? Abram says, who are you with these big, bold plans? I don't like camping. I like where I am. Where are these places you want me to go? When will I get there? How will I know? What is the map of your plan for my life? I must know all this stuff. I must talk to my wife. That's the way my Bible reads. That's not the way your Bible has it. My Bible will be on sale in the narthex. See, that's faith. Abram goes, he's got no map, no GPS, no Siri, no Google, no nothing. Abram doesn't even know who he's listening to. Doesn't even know who he's listening to. Doesn't know where he's going. The voice says, to a land I will show you. That's a little vague. That's not very specific. You know, but Abraham never, in our passage, he never even has a conversation. He never even raises a question. He doesn't say anything. I would have some conversation with the man. I hear a voice telling me to go do something. I got some questions. Abram, he's just like in Home Depot or something, working in the yard maybe filling out his bracket. Maybe March Madness is getting ready to happen. We don't know. And then all of a sudden he hears his voice, and the voice says, go. And Abram goes, okay, I'll go. You ever hear God tell you to go? See, that's the first word usually of discipleship. Go. It's a real simple word. Two letters. Go. Just go. That's the first command. Go means you're going to have to trust God. Go means you're going to have to leave the illusion that you're in control of your life. Go means leaving comfort. Leaving home, leaving all the places, things, and people that you know. Just go. God never tells Abram where to go, but he does tell Abram why. He does tell Abram why. And it's also just one word. Blessing. 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 See, God's project begins with Abram, but it doesn't end with Abram. I'm not just going to bless you, Abram. I'm going to bless the whole world. The whole world. It begins with you. It doesn't end with you. I know. We tell our kids, oh, God loves the whole world. But you look around in the world today, and that ain't the message I'm hearing sometimes. That's not what I'm hearing. I know politically it's out of favor to talk about being inclusive, but it's never out of favor with God to talk about being inclusive. Because when God says, I gave my son for the whole world, guess what God means? The whole world. Everybody means everybody. And that's the way God intended it to be. And it starts with Abram, but it doesn't end with Abram, because what does God say? He says, the whole world, all nations, all families, everybody. But it has to start with somebody. And Abram, you're my guy. You're my guy. That's how it starts. That's how it starts. But for any of that to happen, the first step is to take a step. That's the way it is. The first step in any journey is to take a step. It's that simple and that hard. Anytime you listen to God, it's always going to be simple and hard at the same time. Have you noticed that in your discipleship? It's simple and hard at the same time. Because that's what happens when you listen to God. It's real simple and it's real hard at the same time. Following God does not mean you get to have an easy life. Sometimes in some churches, not this church, not this church, but in other churches, you know those other churches? Those other churches have people that they refuse God. Not our church. Not in our church. None of our people ever refuse God. But in those other churches. In those other churches, sometimes there'll be a need or a request will be made. And in those other churches, people will say, oh, but I work. Or but I'm retired. Or I just don't feel a peace about it. Or that's not really my area. Or that's too far out of my comfort zone. I know God. I know God loves me, and because God loves me, God would never ask me to do something like that. Faith is never a feeling. Faith is a trust in God. It is a choice to trust God, regardless of how we happen to feel about it. God tells Moses, I want you to challenge Pharaoh. David, to go against Goliath. Daniel, go against some lions. Elijah, go against Jezebel. Esther, go against Haman. They don't say, read the Bible. They don't ever say, oh, I have a piece about that. They never say that. It's never in that. No. It's not that way. They never do. If you read the Bible, that's why we have Bible studies, so we can look at the Scripture, study the Scripture, and find out. And when in the Bible, if you study it, you know, when in the Bible does God ever give anyone an easy job? It never happens. It never happens. You never get an easy job. When does God ever say, you know, interrupt somebody's life, say, I have an assignment for you, but it's not going to be too inconvenient. I have an assignment for you, but it won't take too much time. I have an assignment for you, but it won't be too difficult. It won't be too challenging. It won't interrupt your busy agenda. Oh, there are no stories like that in the Bible. I've read it. You've read it. There's never a story like that. It never happens. It's not that way. No, God never says, I promise you, if you will do what I say, it will be easy. What God says, if you will do what I ask you to do, I will go with you.
Yeah.
That's what God promises. I will go with you. I will go with you. God comes to Noah. God says, hey, I have an assignment for you. You're going to face judgment. You're going to face ridicule. You're going to face desolation. You're going to face enormous destruction and difficulty. But I will go with you. And my sign that I am with you is the rainbow. Our passage. God calls Abraham. I want you to leave your home. I want you to leave your culture. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave everything familiar. Go to a place you don't even know. I'll tell you when you get there. But I will go with you. I will give you a sign. You know what Abraham's sign was? Circumcision. Abraham said, hey, wait. Noah got a rainbow. Can't we have like a secret handshake or a passcode or something like that? Why? Really? Our passage today, it's only 4 verses. Now next week, strap it down. You got 40 verses coming at you in the scripture reading. But today, you get 4 verses. And Genesis is in the beginning of the Bible. So let me give you a disclaimer right now. Discerning God's will, following God's will, does not mean we get a free pass from failing. That's why God's sign for us is a cross. It's a cross. A promise of forgiveness. And in that sign, in that cross, we see a promise that nothing, and by that God means nothing, will ever be able to separate us from Him. Nothing can separate us from God, from His love, from His grace. Not our failure, not our weakness, not our doubt, not our despair, nothing. God's sign, always, always with us, the cross. We may not always be able to boldly go, but oh, the places we can go when we choose to follow God, when we listen and follow where God will lead us, blessings will flow, not only to us, but to the entire world. Amen.